Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm calling to order the meeting of the Astoria City Council for October 17th, 2016. Councillor Nemlowell is on her way, so she will arrive momentarily. Our roll call. We'd like to invite Jimmy Pearson, who is our new library director, to do the roll call.
Good evening. It is my honor and privilege. Councillor Price.
Here.
Councillor Ward.
Here.
Councillor Nemlowell.
Here.
Here. And Jimmy, if you would like to come up and in front and introduce yourself to everyone, that would be great. We'd love to have you come up and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Brett didn't tell me about this.
You never know what's going to happen at a city council meeting.
Good evening. I am Jimmy Pearson. I'm your new library director.
And Jimmy, you may want to get the microphone as well.
We're taped, so you have to speak into that thing.
Good evening. I am Jimmy Pearson. I'm your new library director. I'm coming from Denver, Colorado. I'm a retired Army sergeant. I was a paramedic or a combat medic from 1984. I've served in Korea, Germany. I am going to be followed by my wife, Monica, and Allison, my daughter. They'll be here in November. We are excited to be here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. We're glad to have you here, that's for sure. Okay, reports of councilors. Councillor War?
No report.
Councillor Price?
Thank you. We had a really interesting economic development strategy session, which I'm not sure if Kevin will give us a little brief of maybe later, but that was last week and very interesting, and appreciate that and look forward to how it goes. There have been some just mind-boggling developments in the presidential race. Nevertheless, tomorrow's the last day to register to vote. I'm sure everybody in here has, but spread the word. We had a not so much of a storm, but it was really great to see. I saw Councillor Nemlowell say this on her Facebook page. It was really heartening to see people really do go ahead and make a lot of preparations and be ready and check with their neighbors and all of that. So that was good. And then I had a Salonical last week. It was a little bit bigger than the last one and smaller than some of the others, but some just really thoughtful people, a lot of real estate professionals there. They were very interested in what the community development director is doing. One of the minor things actually was everyone requested, could we be a little bit better about getting information out? I think everybody's trying really hard, and I'm really happy that community development now has a Facebook page. I'm really not sure what else we could do to provide more notice to people about the things that we're doing. I don't know if it's maybe collecting email addresses or something, or having a page on the website that is more sort of a blog that people can't, you know, it's where you put the public notices there and people can subscribe to it so it comes to their email box. I think we're all doing really a lot of public noticing, but still there are people who are still really interested and involved in what's going on in the city who kind of come to things late. But in that vein, I promised that I would try to help out a little bit by at least every so often asking for updates of things that maybe I think we at council table probably know about, but residents may not. And one was just an example that came up was that it was at the end of July that the council made a decision about the library. And since then we haven't talked about it at all. So people are very curious about what's happening. I know that, and I said that we were waiting for our new library director, and I think that's probably the bulk of it. But those sorts of things, if we can update people a little more regularly on things, especially that we've had them be so involved in public process, this long public process that we had for the library. And then the rest of the time, there was like an hour or so discussion
about the proposed amendments to the development code, and there's a work session coming up this Wednesday, Kevin?
That's right, 6:30
at 6:30 here, to talk about the accessory dwelling unit portion and tiny homes. And the constituents that were at this meeting, they really expressed a lot of the same concerns that we at council have had. It's like, really, have we really fully addressed who needs what where? What really do these changes address? And there was one question that came up that I suspect may come up at your work session, is some people felt like it was being sort of placed, the burden was being placed on old established neighborhoods to resolve the issue of housing in Astoria, and is that really the way to go? So I hope that everyone who is interested will come to the Planning Commission, bring their thoughts and ideas to them. Let us all know how you feel. It is an important issue. It's detailed and tedious, but important. And that's it.
Thank you. Councilor Nimmowell.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Pearson, I'd like to welcome you to Astoria. So glad you're on board, and thank you very much for your service as well. Also, you know, with kind of people feeling maybe not so excellent all the time about the national election, you know, I do feel very good about our local election, and I feel really good about our local city council candidates. And so I look forward to our local election and working with those people in the future. Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm.
One of the joys of being mayor is that I get invited to go to things that are a lot of fun. And one was that I got to go to lunch the other day at the Coast Guard Cutter Alert. And besides the fact that it was a delicious lunch, also they mentioned that the alert is going to be in dry dock in Seattle for 2 months. And so half of their crew will be up there working on the alert. The other half will still be here in Astoria. And the captain or commander or whatever of the alert said, I want to keep them busy. So we have 200 man hours per week for 2 months to give to the city. So this is just like a gift from heaven, and so I passed this on to Angela, and she's busy working on that to make sure that we utilize all their services. But the Coast Guard has done so many wonderful things in our community, and it's just, I think we really need to have an article in the Daily Astorian sometime about all the volunteer efforts that the Coast Guard has done for this city, because it really has been quite remarkable. And this latest is really wonderful, because there are quite a few things in the parks that we could use their services for, that's for sure. I also attended the grand opening of Vintage Hardware. They moved from the former England Marine spot and are now in John's?
It was Bargains Galore.
Bargains Galore. And it's a quite remarkable change. It's on Marine Drive near next to Sears. And if you get a chance, go down and take a look at it, because they've done a really great job of putting all their wares out where you can find them. If you need windows, if you need doors, if you need all kinds of hardware and so forth, they have it. So take a look, and I congratulate them on their move. That was kind of an unexpected move for them. So, but Paul Tudor says that's the end. That's it. He's not moving again. So. Anyway, it was a really nice a nice new venue for them. That's my report. Are there any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the consent calendar, and These are considered routine, and they'll be adopted by one motion unless someone in the audience or someone up here in the council has wanted to remove an item. So is there anyone from the public who has wanted to remove an item?
No requests from the public.
How about from the council?
No, ma'am.
None for me.
Okay, could we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Second.
Roll call, Ms. Cosby?
Councilor Nemelo?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye, thank you. Our first regular agenda items that actually is a cancellation of a public hearing, so I'll let City Manager explain this.
Sure. This is dealing with items 6A and B on the regular agenda and a public hearing notice for tonight's meeting regarding two separate Astoria Development Code amendments, which were referenced earlier tonight by Councilor Price, were mailed anticipating that the Planning Commission's review would be complete. And the Planning Commission is still considering these items as was discussed earlier. So these City Council hearings will be rescheduled after the Planning Commission has made their recommendation. Because they were noticed, we need to just have them on the agenda tonight for procedural purposes. We will be sending out new notices once the Planning Commission has made a recommendation, but no action is required tonight.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so item C is the 50th Street Trestle Repair Project.
So on over the summer, there was quite a bit of discussion and presentation from our engineering department, particularly our assistant city engineer, Nathan Crater, has been the lead on this project and discussing the needed repairs that have been identified along the Riverwalk and the trolley trestle. And our consulting engineers, OBEC, completed this inspection, as Mr. Crater had noted earlier this year. And as a part of this effort, the timber trestles east of 39th Street, where there is no trolley running at this point in time, also needed an inspection to ensure that the river trail could continue to be utilized. So the city coordinated with OBEC to develop a scope of work for these repairs, and request of quotes were issued. The lowest bidder on the project was Columbia Dockworks in the amount of $14,588. So funding for this project is available in the Riverwalk Trestles Improvement Budget of the Promote Astoria Fund. And there is an associated item on tonight's agenda that's gonna be talking about additional repairs which will be required on the portions of the Riverwalk where the trolley runs. This is for repairs that are needed, again, east of 39th Street. Tonight, it's recommended that council authorize the award of a construction contract to Columbia Dockworks. And Mr. Crater is in the audience if there are any specific questions.
Any questions from the council?
Just one, please. Mr. City Manager, do we have a policy about, do we always have to accept the lowest bid unless the proposal that comes with it is just completely inadequate?
So there are alternate ways we can, through our purchasing code language, where we would issue requests for proposals where there would be a scoring criteria which would be established. If you recall, there have been some recently where price was a part of that, but also methodology. I'm thinking from the last meeting, the Parks mm-hmm. Department had the approach for the tree inventory was spelled out in advance, and there were four different criteria, if I recall, which they were graded upon. In this case, for a request for quotes would require you take the low bidder.
Okay, and
but we'd also let me just clarify. It would also we would be looking at making sure that everything they put the quote for that we'd asked for was identified. That it was not an irregular bid.
And if there are scoring criteria, those are given in the RFQ or right. whatever, the RFP. Okay, thank you. I have no problem at all with this contract. It was just an overall question. Thank you.
There are some other times where we're able to request sole sourcing of contractors. There's different ways to be able to do that through public hearings or if they're a preferred provider. There's different other ways to do sole sourcing.
Has the council ever considered, of course, I think this would be hard to do because then they would just know. I was wondering if the council had ever considered giving some sort of extra weight to local versus non-local. But then they know that you give 3% and everybody bids 3%
more. Well, you have that. We've had some discussions over the years about that. And I think it becomes a challenge when you're looking at trying to get the best product many times. You know, you're looking at would you have sometimes, would it skew something to where you wouldn't get exactly what you needed? But that also may be the case if you had an automatic bump that prices could be, could be adjusted accordingly.
Well, I would expect that there must from time to time be some difficult decisions because, we are a council, you are a city staff that's interested in economic development and wanting to support local always when possible and practicable. Thanks.
The only question I have is, Columbia Dock Works is about half of what any of the other bids were.
Nathan.
Are they sure they can do this?
Nathan Crater, Assistant City Engineer. So I did contact them basically because in any bid, any RFQ, when we receive a number that is half or substantially lower than the next number, especially when the next two numbers are clustered like they are, we have those same concerns. Did you miss something? And basically ran through the project with them, confirmed that he understood the scope of it. We talked about methodology, how they were going to do this work. This work has been done in the past on a previous job. This is just a kind of an expansion of that scope because the deterioration continued, and he's approaching it in a very similar manner as it was done, I think it's been 3 years ago now. So I don't really have any concerns. And just a point on that, the local contracting. So when we do an RFQ like this, all three of the firms you see on there are local. And that's kind of the intent of the RFQ is that we can distribute that to contractors that we have relationships with in the area that are local or that are good doing the work. They don't necessarily have to be local. In this case, it happened to be that way. So we do try to consider that when we do these types of projects.
The Peitsch family has worked for us before, though, haven't they?
Yeah, under the name Tidewater. This is Tim Peitsch is the owner of Columbia Dock Works, and he's the one that basically has a very similar, the same crew as Tidewater does or did. Yep.
Great. Well, it's wonderful to get that kind of a bid, but I just didn't quite believe it.
Yeah, we were thrilled.
Thank you, Nathan. Okay, is there a motion?
I move the City Council authorize the award of a construction contract to Columbia Dock Works.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Okay, the next item is a related item, the trolley trestle repair project.
So the city, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, had OBEC review the structural capacity of the entire Riverwalk. And this includes approximately 4.7 miles of railroad track and 8 timber trestles formerly owned and maintained by the Burlington Northern Railroad. This extends from the Port of Astoria to Tongue Point. The trolley itself runs on approximately 3 miles of this track. And at your July 18th meeting, staff presented 3 options for managing the maintenance needs of the trolley and the river trail. Council approved a hybrid approach, which focused available funding resources on maintaining the structures and track west of 39th Street, which is the active rail, and providing minimal repairs and more frequent inspection east of 39th Street. And they, again, the contract which was just approved was the requirements east of 39th Street. So the immediate maintenance needs for the trestles and track on the areas west of 39th will need to be addressed prior to the trolley operating in 2017. Our consultant that's been working on this, OBAC, provided a design services proposal to assist the city with completion of this maintenance work. And the immediate needs, including trestles and track repair, are estimated to be around $320,000 for this current fiscal year. We have recommended, staff has recommended that funding the immediate repairs using the Promote Astoria Fund, and a note, just to refresh everyone's memory, that they're going to need to be repairs done in subsequent years for up to 10 years, that we're going to need to be having discussions with the Riverfront Trolley Association to be able to look at sharing these costs, and those conversations have begun. There is funding available in the Riverwalk Trestles budget of the Promote Astoria Fund for these design services. However, a supplemental budget would need to be approved to appropriately fund construction of the trestle improvements prior to awarding a construction contract. So again, what is being proposed tonight is to initiate the design process for this work, and then once that was completed, we would then be receiving bids for the construction work, which we would look at bringing back to you into this year, beginning of 2017. Tonight it's recommended that council authorize the award of a personal services contract to OBEC Consulting Engineers in the amount of $23,122 for design services.
Questions or comments from the council?
None for me.
Do we have any idea how much the construction itself is going to cost?
That's the approximately $320,000.
And do we have any idea how we're going to pay for that?
Promote Astoria Fund is what is proposed. This would take a budget amendment to adjust the ending fund balance and appropriate those funds in this line item.
But the funds are available.
There are funds within the Promote Astoria budget.
Yeah, we take a supplemental budget.
Okay.
What would we not be doing that we had earlier thought we might be doing with those funds?
We would not be carrying forward and as much of an ending fund balance to begin the next fiscal year.
Okay, so there was that additional amount. This was not earmarked in, during budget.
Right.
And you will be talking with the Trolley Association. And do the other, do the landowners along the Riverwalk in that area feel any, or be, could be made to feel any obligation to assist?
Yeah, that's a tough, especially when many of those waterfront businesses are maintaining their own docks. Mm-hmm. I mean, the areas north of the trolley trestle are generally owned and maintained and private. They can't prohibit the public from going out there, but they maintain those dock structures themselves.
I have a question. So does this guarantee that the trolley will continue to run during that whole time, or will there be times when the trolley will not run because they're working on the trestle repair?
So this work needs to be done. If the trolley is going to run this next summer, this work has to happen. The construction is anticipated to be scheduled while they'll be in their down season doing their repairs.
How's the conversation with ODOT right now? Because ODOT had threatened over the summer to close these trolley trestles if we didn't do some emergency repairs, which we had done, some patchwork. So now where are we at with sure. ODOT? And if we approve this, will that be satisfactory if we continue to move along with the repairs that are necessary?
So this is a different set of issues than the ones we were dealing with ODOT earlier. The issues we were dealing with ODOT earlier were at the street ends. And the work on the street ends is actually happening right now. You'll see that there's work that's been going on at each one of those street ends over the past few months. Because we moved quickly, because we moved without delay, and because we were continuing to do frequent inspections of those street ends, ODOT was comfortable and didn't shut down the trolley at those street rights away. So what we're talking about with this contract is the areas between the street ends.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I had that straight last summer when we were meeting about this. Well, this is definitely a tough pill to swallow. It's not the first time we've heard about it, but the Riverwalk is of utmost priority in Astoria, so I don't see that we have any other choice but to award this contract tonight.
Yeah, and Councilor Nimblewell, the repairs that we were doing on the street ends we paid for those out of the Capital Improvement Fund budget, is where we made those budget allocations. So it is a very complex issue because we had two sets of infrastructure that were needing repairs at different times. And so we moved forward first on the issues that we had the threat by ODOT to not only shut down those bridges, but also shut down the trolley. And in good faith, we've been able to continue to make those repairs. And now we're moving forward on trying to address those the gaps between the street ends with the repairs east of 39th Street and then the design work for west of 39th.
And I know we're not quite there yet with the funding and the budget amendment, but I do think that Promote Astoria funds are a very appropriate use here to keep the trolley going.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
I move the City Council authorize the award of a personnel services contract to OBEC Consulting in the amount of $23,122 for design services for the 2017 Trolley Trestle Repair Project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The next is the agreement for the City Attorney Legal Services.
So on September 6th, an item regarding City Attorney Legal Services was deferred to a subsequent City Council meeting as City Attorney Hinsgard was unable to be in attendance that evening. The provisions contained in the agreement between Blair Hinsgard and the City of Astoria remain unchanged from what was included in the September 6th packet. Tonight it's recommended that Council consider the revised agreement as outlined in your memo and as included in your packet.
Okay, council discussion.
I intend to make the motion to approve the contract if that's appropriate at this point. He's done a good job for us for a number of years, and I'm perfectly comfortable as one that he continue.
Okay.
If that's a motion, I would second it.
I move that the City Council approve the revised agreement.
Second.
Okay, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I hesitate to ask this, trust me, but I have been, in honor of our former Councilor Herzig, every contract I have looked at to see if the non-discrimination clause is there, because he hammered it into us. And I see that there is not one here. Does one belong in a legal services agreement?
I have one employee. And our ethical rules require me not discriminate, so it can certainly be added in, but
it's implied, well implied.
It's imposed by the bar.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm ready to vote.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay. New business. Anyone in the audience wish to address the council? You have your chance. Okay, we will recess then into executive session. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. out. And so I think I'll let you address that.
Thank you. I think some of you will remember at our first meeting in September, we received departmental reports from Parks and Rec, Public Works, Community Development, and Police. And at the request of Councilor Nimmelwell, the Parks and Rec report was taken off, which allowed us to have a pretty in-depth discussion about staffing challenges. And then we also learned, I think around the same time, that we were going to be getting our first ever quarterly budget summary, which, thank you very much, Madam Brooks, we have. It's really great to have. It's something I think that will serve us very well in the future as we go forward. So at that time, at the September 6th meeting, having had this discussion about the personnel challenges, we talked about putting together a work session for October and November after we received this quarterly report, so we could start thinking early, earlier than I think is usual, at least in my case, which has only been twice before, basically February, where we start talking about the next fiscal year budget. So it seemed to me that given the challenges that were expressed in the departmental reports, some of the challenges we've heard since, you know, with the trestle repairs and labor negotiations and other stresses that may be on the budget, the sooner that we could start just looking at the budget, understanding it, thinking about ways, creative ways that we can invest in staff next year, or that we cannot, or so what do we need to start thinking about cutting? I thought that it would be very useful if we could have a work session on this and start thinking about it now. I know that there's some interest in maybe waiting until the new council comes on, but they're mostly here and can certainly weigh in. And I think the sooner that we all start thinking, staff, current council, potential council, start thinking about these things, the better off we would be. So that's my request.
Okay.
I would just say, we could just, as a real world exercise, let's just say, what if the opening question is, let's say we want to hire three new people next year, three full-time employees. Maybe one's a cop to make it, you know, extra hard because they're expensive. How would we do that? Or could we just simply not do it? So that's it. And we said yes. There were nods all around when I asked about it in September. There wasn't like a great deal of enthusiasm. There really never is for work sessions. And we started to find a date, and then it fell off. So I wondered if we could get that back on.
Okay, any comments?
Brett, what is your process in crafting the budget and rough timeline?
So I guess I want to talk about dollars and cents issues first and foremost. One of the things that is being developed at this point in time is, as I identified before, is working with our Parks Director, Angela Cosby, in tandem with our Finance Director, Susan Brooks, to review the current approved budget for the Parks Department. Because what was approved for the Parks Department budget, while we allocated additional funds, continue on at the same speed, if you want to call it that, with all the same services, will continue to trigger a end of year fund balance transfer. And since the Parks Master Plan has been completed, we've heard what are the priorities for the citizens. We've heard also some different funding options for ways to be able to generate additional revenue to fill the gaps, to be able to continue these services or to even expand. Alternatively, what Ms. Cosby is putting together is what would need to be cut to be able, within the Parks Department, to be able to live within our means. And that is probably going to be, I'm going to say, ready to discuss in November at this rate. So that's something that we need to be dealing with soon, because the I want the council to be able to understand that if there are no changes being made, we'll continue to have to do the year-end transfers, but we want to get this information out to you sooner rather than later so you can weigh in accordingly. So that's the thing first and foremost that I feel that we need to do, just to be able to get the current year's budget dialed in. So moving into the, and I that was a long preface because I wanted you to kind of understand what's going on behind the scenes budget-wise. In moving forward with development of a budget for the next fiscal year, that work gets started typically in December is when we start having the estimations as to what are we going to be seeing insofar as tax revenue for this next year. Looking at those determinations, whether or not we're going to have a status quo set of revenue figures or an uptick, or so that's typical process for us is in terms of looking at revenue. And our process has been in the past, we look at the revenue first in prior years, having the goal setting session in January, and then trying to formulate the budget around it. I think maybe what Councillor Price is maybe asking is maybe a little bit different in what we've done before, looking at some of those questions from a bigger picture and a hypothetical picture is I'm trying to get the gist of what you're looking for, but that's typical for what we would do.
I'm a little confused, and maybe Cindy, you can straighten me out. Of course, I'm not going to be involved after the first of the year, so it really shouldn't matter, I guess, a whole lot. But
we value your opinion, Russ.
We have one of their three employees, the city council does, the city manager, the city attorney, and the municipal court judge. Staffing and the amount of staffing actually is a function of the city manager, and I think if we start messing with encroaching too far into his realm, we're doing him a disservice and not doing our job properly. So that's something that we really should think about because his staff does not work for us.
Agreed. I mean, I wouldn't want to get into that at all either, but I do think that we, as the policy makers for the city, have a responsibility to be as diligent as we can in allocating the taxpayers' dollars.
Sure.
And doing what we can to help brainstorm or whatever to help advance the idea of making sure that we have enough staff to provide quality services, and or if we cannot, that we give plenty of lead time to our constituents to let them know that the fiscal realities are such that we may not be able to do some of the things that we've done before. And I just think that the sooner that we can just, I mean, clearly staff is already thinking about this, so to bring council in on this early, I think would just be useful for everyone.
Okay, and that may be appropriate, but I really want us to be conscious about what is policy and what is micromanagement.
Sure.
And we shouldn't be over here on this side at all.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
I'm a big proponent of bringing back goal setting in January, and I would look forward to doing it. I will miss Councillor Warr very much, but I would look forward to doing it with the newly elected City Council intact. I think that worked really well the year before last when we heard presentations from each department head on what their department's goals were and what they would be working on throughout the year. It informed the city council when we set goals, for example, with the parks master plan. It was a plan that had come from parks staff. and Angela Cosby, and I don't know that that would have been on our radar had we not been informed by department heads. So I think that it is a very important role of council to discuss priorities. We know that money is scarce, and it's a conversation that I hope to have really soon, but I would prefer to do it in January.
Okay, I would agree. I understand what you want to do, Cindy, but I do think that we need to wait for this new city council to come on board. What they think may be important may not be what we think is important. So I would like to see them involved in that decision, and I'm glad that we now have...
Can I just say that, you know, we don't make decisions in work sessions. We just talk about things. Mm-hmm. So no decisions would be made. And as for goal setting, you know, goal setting is really dependent on money, so you can, you know, start one way or the other. But I just did want to clarify that it wasn't a matter of making any decisions, just starting the discussion a little early so we could get a head start, because we have heard... from various sources that 16, 17, or what is it going to be, 17, 18 is going to be difficult.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But I accept the will of the council.
Okay. The other thing is, I think it's so important for us to hear from the various department heads. I think that's critical. And I agree with Councillor Nimlowell that that's one of the strengths of our goal setting meeting, is that we get to hear from every department head. What are your priorities? What could you do without if we have to cut the budget? All these things are really important to hear, but I think that if we hear it in terms of our goal setting, it will help us to make those goals realistic. So it sounds like the consensus is that we will wait until January. Is that correct? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, now the meeting is adjourned. Thank you again.
So you're going to go in by yourself first? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.